before the word comes forth. So God has already preached by the movement of his spirit. So we are going to allow him to amplify and elaborate on the word that he has preached by his spirit. Would you turn in your Bibles, have them to Revelations chapter 11, verse 15. We're going to read the word. And it's on the screen if you don't have a Bible with you. The word of God reads, "And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever." Father, we bless your word. We thank you, Lord God, that you anoint our ears to hear the Spirit of God to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. What we have witnessed was a process of transformation that was spoken of in Revelation 11, 15. The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of the Lord and his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever. The kingdom of God is the comprehensive rule, reign, and authority of God in every area of life. Wherever the rule and authority of God exists, his kingdom has been established. So what we just experienced was the presence of Jesus in this place by the Spirit of God confronted some things that was unlike the rule, the reign, and the authority of God. And whenever the kingdom confronts anything that is unlike the kingdom of God, which is the authority of God, the rule of God, the reign of God, that thing has to bow its knee to the kingdom. And God has begun that process. We're going to be talking about advancing the kingdom of God. And even in the earthly realm, when there was a king, and that king is conquering territory, every territory that a king conquered, the subjects in that territory submitted to his lordship, and they became part of that earthly kingdom. And the same is true in the spirit realm. Every territory that the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, conquers, everything that submits to him becomes part of his kingdom. Cannot become part of the kingdom without submission to the king. That's a prerequisite to being a part of the kingdom. Now, there are kingdoms of this world that has not yet bowed its knee and submitted to the kingdom of God and the lordship and reign and rule of God. And God promises in his word that these kingdoms of the world will bow and will submit to the rule and the authority of the king. And we are part of that process. It's necessary that we develop a kingdom mindset and not just a church mindset. Now, do you realize that we can do church and miss the kingdom? See, we can do church without the rule and authority of God in operation. So we must develop a kingdom mindset and move away from a church mindset, because we can think that we are pleasing God by doing churchy things and we miss the kingdom of God. Now, the kingdom is the central theme of the New Testament. We see in Matthew chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, that it was the message that the forerunner of Jesus, John the Baptist, preached. The very first message, and he preached. Bible says, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. First message. We also see in Matthew chapter 4, the very first message that Jesus preached. This was after he had been tempted in the wilderness of the devil. First message he preached was, the Bible says, from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, what? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What was he saying? And what was John the Baptist saying? They were saying that this issue of sin and disobedience to God must cease because the kingdom is coming. Now, Jesus is the embodiment of the kingdom of God. The Bible speaks of Jesus and the kingdom of heaven as one and the same. Why? Because Jesus embodied the rule, authority, and reign of God. He was totally submitted to the Father. So the kingdom was established in him. And when he came, anything that was contrary to the rule of God, the will of God, the authority of God had to submit itself to the kingdom. So, in essence, what Jesus was saying, look, a new sheriff is in town, and you should take heed and repent. Change your thoughts, change your mind, change your conduct. Because a new sheriff is in town and you don't want none of this. See, what he was saying in essence is, if you don't repent, if you don't change your mind, if you don't change your conduct and behavior, there is a day of the Lord coming and you're not going to be ready for it. So I'm suggesting to you now that you repent. Because the kingdom is coming, and everything that is contrary to the kingdom is going to run smack into the kingdom, and guess who's going to lose? Everything that's unlike the kingdom. The kingdom is eternal. And Jesus the King will reign forever and ever. Now, that was the very first message that was preached in the New Testament. And it was the last message that was preached by Jesus too. In Acts 1:3, the Bible tells us this. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Now, after Jesus rose from the dead, he was in the earth for 40 days. And during that 40-day period, he said, boys, come here. I need to give you a summary I need to give you a review of what I've been teaching you for the last 3+ years. And he taught them about the kingdom of God. He reminded them of the kingdom of God. The last message and messages Jesus spoke in earth was about the kingdom of God. And so that is the central theme of the word of God. Now, because Jesus was the embodiment of the kingdom, he expanded the kingdom everywhere he went. Within him was the rule, reign, and authority of God. It was contained within him. So wherever he went, the kingdom ended up being expanded and advanced. Why? Wherever he saw anything, when he came up against anything contrary to what he carried the will of God. He carried the rule of God. He carried the authority of God within him. He was 100% submitted to the will of the Father. He said, I only do that which the Father tells me to do. I only go where he tells me to go. I only say what he tells me to say. So when he came up against sickness and disease, guess what? Sickness and disease had to flee. When he came up against death, life came. When he came, when light came, the Bible says he's the light of the world. When light came, darkness had to flee. When the deliverer came, demons would flee. You see, the kingdom of God was advanced when the woman with the issue of blood touched him. You see, she possessed something that was contrary to the rule and authority of God. She had had an issue of blood for 12 years. So that condition was contrary to the kingdom of God. So she touched him and was made whole. The kingdom of God was advanced when blind Bartimaeus received his sight. Blindness is contrary to the word and will of God. The kingdom was advanced when Legion was delivered of those demons. See, when the kingdom comes in contact with anything that is contrary to the kingdom, it bows its knee. So wherever Jesus went, he advanced the kingdom of God. He brought the rule of God. He brought the authority of God. He brought the reign of God's word into every situation that he encountered. Now, look at Matthew chapter 12, verse 22, 28. We're going to see how this thing really worked and how Jesus worked this thing. And we're going to get an insight how we ought to do it too. Look at this. Then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb. Now, you think your problems are bad. We're whining about our conditions. Now, this man had a devil. He was blind and dumb. And they got him to Jesus. And look, and he healed him in so much that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. Next verse. And all the people were amazed and said, is this not the son of David? But when the church folks, oh, that's the Pharisees, I'm sorry. When the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow, meaning Jesus, does not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of devils. And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? And if I, by Beelzebub, cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore, they shall be your judge. But look at this. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Now, this man who had a devil, he was blind and he was dumb. He had an encounter with the kingdom of God. They brought him to the kingdom of God. They brought him to Jesus. And when he ran up against the kingdom, something supernatural happened to him. You see, that blindness, that dumbness, and couldn't speak was contrary to the kingdom of God, contrary to the will of God, to the purpose of God, the rule of God. So when he came in contact with the kingdom, the devil left. He both saw and spoke. Now, amazement took place. Now, as we study this, we must begin seeing ourselves doing this. All right? You're going to walk in this. I'm going to walk in this. You see, folks were amazed at this. This world is due for some amazement by a move of God, that they will wonder, what is this? And they're going to say the same things about you and me they said about Jesus. Oh, isn't that Junebug? Isn't that Ruth Ann's boy? I thought that was her little girl. What is she doing? They're going to talk about you because they're going to try to know you by the flesh. The Bible says we know no man by the flesh, but by the Spirit. Now, Jesus knew their thoughts. And he said, look, how can Satan cast out Satan? He said, that's about the stupidest thing I've heard. How can Satan cast out Satan? How can darkness cast out darkness? And he said, look, if I'm doing this by Beelzebub, then who are your boys and girls? By whom are they casting out devils? He said, listen, but if I cast out devils by the working of the kingdom of God in me, by the Spirit of the living God that's in me, then the kingdom of God has come to you. So the kingdom comes as Jesus moved in obedience to the Father. Now, that's what Jesus did. He advanced the kingdom wherever he went. Now, what about us? Jesus said in John 14:12, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, he shall do also, and greater works than these, because I go to my Father. Now, we're going to back up and look at this, but I want us to know that is the intent of the Father that we do what Jesus did. If it was Jesus' primary function in advancing the kingdom wherever he goes, then it should be ours too. Amen. Now, Jesus said this. Now, this discourse took place after the disciples He said he was going away in John 14. They said, where are you going? He said, yeah, show us the way. And they said, if you see me, you've seen the Father. And they said, how can we see the, show us the Father? He said, if you see me, and Jesus, have you been with me so long that you don't even know me? And now this dialogue took place, what Jesus said. He says, do you not believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? What I am telling you, I do not say on my own authority and of my own accord, but the Father who lives continuously in me does his works, his own miracles, deeds of power. Now get a picture of this. Jesus recognizes, and this is good for us, because I understand something about Jesus. He was 100% man and 100% God. That's how we get in on this thing to get to the Father, coming through Jesus. So Jesus understood that it was the Father working in him who did the work. He said, it's the Father in me who does his own works of power. He recognized that the miracles that he did was the work of the Father, the kingdom of God in him. You understand? Next verse. He says, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the very works themselves. If you cannot trust me, at least let these works that I do in my Father's name convince you. Now, what he is saying, I know y'all have a little trouble with who I am and accepting the fact that the Father is in me, that the kingdom is in me, that the Father and I are one. I know you're having some trouble with that. But if you cannot believe that, at least let the works that I do, let the advancement of my Father's kingdom that I do right before your eyes convince you that the Father is in me, working through me. So let the works of advancing the kingdom convince you that the Father is in me. You see, that was the proof, the evidence of the Father being in the Son. And he said, if you can't accept the fact that Almighty God, now this is true for us too, because he is in us. He lives in us. We need a revelation of this, that when we are called of God to advance his kingdom, we don't do it in our own power or authority. We don't have any. It is the Father working in us who does it. So as we yield to the Father, as we yield to the kingdom, the Father will work through us. And if we are going to be effective in advancing the kingdom of God, we must begin to see ourselves advancing the kingdom. See ourselves moving in supernatural authority. See, we have allowed the devil to deceive us, to lie to us, in saying to us what the Pharisees said about Jesus. Isn't that David's little boy? I mean, isn't that Joseph's son? And the enemy will try to belittle us, to disqualify us. But we must understand something about the kingdom of God. And the Bible tells us in Luke 17, 20, something about the kingdom of God that we must be aware of, fully aware of. And when he, Jesus, was demanded of the Pharisees, these Pharisees, they ain't getting it. and they not, no, I'm not going to say this. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. In other words, it's not going to be a visual appearance of the kingdom of God. It's not going to be something that you can work up, work at, and bring about. He said this in the next verse. Neither shall they say, lo here, or look here, or look there. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you. So if we're going to seek the kingdom, it's something that's in us. You see, understand the process. When we ask Jesus Christ to come into our hearts, Jesus, being the embodiment of the kingdom, when he came in, the kingdom came in. So the kingdom of God is within. Now, it's in us, but we must learn. And this is the process that the Spirit of God is working in us now. And that is surrender to the kingdom. The fact that the kingdom is in us doesn't automatically mean that we enter the kingdom. You understand? Matthew 7:21 bears proof of this. This is why we can get tricked into doing church stuff. Matthew 7:21. And let's look at that. We have it. If we don't, I'm going to read it. Okay. It says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. You follow? So, in church, we say, Lord, Lord. We sing, we pray, we praise, we preach. We say, Lord, Lord. But Jesus says, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, not everyone who goes to church, not everyone who sits in a pew and lift hands, praise, is going to enter the kingdom of heaven. But those who will enter the kingdom of heaven, he says, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. In other words, we must submit, yield, surrender to the rule, the reign, the authority of God who is in us if we are going to enter into the kingdom. And we cannot advance a kingdom that we don't possess. So the kingdom must come to me first before I can advance it anywhere. So we must yield to it, surrender to it, obey the word of God in our own lives. And as the kingdom of God is established in us, then we will advance it wherever we go. You see, if the kingdom is not in us, then we are powerless. When we come up against those things in our world that is contrary to the kingdom, we can pray all we want. We can hook them a shy and tie a bow tie all we want. Ain't nothing happening in the spirit realm. And quite honestly, that is the condition of the church today. We don't have power. We're not moving in the authority of God yet, but we are. But we are. But we must be able to recognize where we are and our present condition so that we can make a conscious choice to change it. So we must enter the kingdom. Become like little children, humble before Almighty God. See, the kingdom is that place of God's supernatural power and authority. And those conditions and prerequisites must be met before we can enter into it. Let's look at one thing maybe only one. We want to look at in Matthew chapter 9, verse 35, 38, and Matthew 10, how Jesus taught the apostles how to advance the kingdom. And let this be a lesson, a teaching for us. Because the kingdom of God must be advanced. Revelations 11:15 said, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and his Christ. Now, we are a part of that. When the Bible says in Revelation 11:15 that he, Jesus, will reign forever and ever, he will, but much of that, or most of that, is going to be done through his reigning through us. He is reigning, but as we have submitted and yield to him, to his authority. See, we must come to a place as Jesus came in relation to the kingdom. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me. I always please the Father. But let's look at Jesus in this teaching. This was Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Now we need to see something. The preaching of the gospel of the kingdom is a message of power. It's a message of deliverance. So when Jesus preached the gospel of the kingdom, he healed sicknesses and diseases. Because when the kingdom confronts anything contrary to it, that thing bows its knee. Verse 36, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Next verse. Then he said unto his disciples, the harvest is truly plentiful, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Now, chapter 10, verse 1. Now, that's the condition. Now, I want us to get the picture because this is part of our commissioning and our sending forth by the Lord of God. Jesus demonstrated the functions of the kingdom of God before his apostles. He preached the gospel of the kingdom, and he healed every sickness and every disease. Then he looked upon the multitudes with compassion. He saw them. See, we need eyes hearts, eyes of our hearts to see as Jesus sees and be moved with the compassion of his heart. See, he looked upon the multitudes and he had compassion on them because they were as sheep without a shepherd. And you look out now, that's what we see. So now he brings his apostles to him. And look at this. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sicknesses and all manner of diseases. This is a power thing. Not our power, but his power. Verse 7 and 8. So he called them and he said, boys, look at the multitudes. Look at them. They're fainting. They were lost. Sheep without a shepherd. Now, come here. Come here. I'm going to give you power. I'm giving you power against all demons. Power to heal. Power to deliver. Power to set free. And he said to them, now, and as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, wasn't that his first message? Preach, saying, the comprehensive rule and authority of Almighty God is at hand. Now, don't just preach in word. I want you to demonstrate something. Heal the sick. Cleanse the lepers. Raise the dead. Cast out devils. Freely have you received and freely give. See, now, we must begin moving in this level of kingdom authority. We can and must heal the sick. We must cleanse lepers, raise the dead. See, if we don't believe that we can, we won't. If we don't, that's why Jesus said in John 14 that he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these, because I go to the Father. Cast out devils. Freely have we received, and freely give. Now, this is a power. You need power to do this. We need power to move in the kingdom of God. There's power available to advance the kingdom of God. And it's available to you. It's available to me. That's why in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, I don't know if we have it up there or not, but Jesus said, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and Samaria and Judea and to the uttermost parts of the world. Now, I think we have gotten witnessing a little off. We think that witnessing of Jesus is giving somebody a tract and just telling them Jesus love you. But if we're going to be a witness of Jesus, we need power. Now, you really don't need power to hand somebody a tract or tell somebody Jesus loves you. You don't need power to do that. But if we're going to be a witness of Jesus, demonstrate before this lost world, dying world, disease world, cripple world, if we're going to be a witness of the one who embodies the kingdom of God, then we need power to do that. Because when we come up against that which is contrary to the kingdom of God, it takes power to break that thing. It takes power to deliver. It takes power to set free. It takes power to raise the dead. And that's what we should be doing. That's what the Father is calling us to do. And that's what he means when he said in Revelation 11:15, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And he's going to reign through you. He'll reign through me. Let's stand as we pray. You see, one thing Jesus understood that he said in John 14, he understood that it was the Father in him who did the work. He understood that his Father was a king. He understood that his Father had a kingdom, and that kingdom of his Father included him. Now, we must come to that revelation as well, that we got the same Father. We've been adopted into the family of God. We are heirs and joint heirs of Jesus Christ. Therefore, we are children of the Most High God. We are children of the King. And our Father is a King. And he has a tremendous kingdom. And that kingdom does include you and me. And we say yes to the Lord. Now, if there's anyone here who you have not responded to the call of God this day, do not leave without making sure that you are in right standing with Almighty God, the King. The only way we can be in right standing is through his Son, Jesus Christ. Because our righteousness, the Bible says, is as filthy rags. And none is righteous but him. So as we minister in song, I want all the workers just to come again. Because we do have a Father. We must know that. He is a king. He does have a kingdom that includes you and me. Come as the Spirit of God speaks to your heart. Live right. Love everybody. Pray hard. We love you. We'll see you Wednesday.